Blog Talk Radio.
NFL Draft Final Player Spotlight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bibles Player Spotlight Show here on All Access Football Radio. With us today is defensive tackle of the Buffalo Bills, former Georgia Bulldog, Marcus Stroud. Hi, Marcus. How's it going today?
It's going well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. You know, thanks a lot for joining us here in the off season. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, including this Moulin Rouge, event you have going on here, charity event. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. You're exactly right. I'm having a fundraiser this Friday night at Opera in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we're going to get together at 7 o'clock from 7 to 11. We're going to try to get together, have a good time, and raise some money for these kids.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But, Marcus, can we start talking a little bit about your Bills first?
Oh, definitely.
All right, let me ask you this. You know, I read recently where Dante Culpepper said he'd be interested in playing up there in Buffalo. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, anytime we can get a player in that is going to help improve our team, I'm all for it. And I think Donovan is definitely an established quarterback in his league, and I still think he has some good years left. So that might be a good fit, you know, but it's all up to the coaching staff and the management.
I was actually talking about Dante Culpepper. He brought that up. I was curious, how much football do you think he has left?
I think he has another good 2, 3, 4 years in him, you know.
All right, and you referenced, I'm not sure if you referenced Donovan McNabb before, but I know Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, those names are being thrown out there a lot as well in terms of potential QBs there in Buffalo. You know, what are your thoughts in general about bringing in that kind of veteran quarterback? You know, you think Vick is somebody that could really light up the franchise a little bit?
Definitely. I think either one of those guys you mentioned could maybe come in and give us a spark, man. I feel like we have the talent, and we just need to shore up in certain spots. You know, last year we finished the season at 6-10, but if you watched us play, we was in every game except for maybe two of them. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like if we can get maybe one or two more players to come in and we show up some things, man, we got a chance to be a good sleeper team this year.
And, you know, speaking of being a sleeper team, let me ask you this. You know, as a veteran player, you want to turn it around quickly. What would your thoughts be about, you know, getting a rookie quarterback, you know, with that first-round pick, that top-10 pick? I know we do a lot of mock drafts and stuff on the website, and a couple of them had Jimmy Clausen, number 9, to the Buffalo Bills. What are your thoughts on that as a veteran guy, you know, bringing in a youngster and kind of starting from scratch to some extent?
Well, man, you know, you would have asked me this question 5 years ago, and I might want to say, you know, if we get a rookie quarterback, you know, it's probably going to have its growing pains, and we're going to maybe take 2 or 3 years to get right, but the way these guys are coming in, they're already league prepared. You know, look at what Matt Ryan did, look at what Flacco did, look at what Sanchez did last year. You know, those guys, even Stafford, you know, he struggled a little bit, but those guys came in and they played well and then they took their bumps and sky's the limit. So you can't limit these rookies now, man. These guys are coming out and they're ready to play.
Oh, so you got to give your Georgia guy a little love there too, right?
Oh, definitely. You know I had to throw the old Bulldog in there.
So you think that among the veterans now, you guys, that rookie stigma quarterback is almost starting to disappear a little bit then?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, man, when those guys came in 2 years ago and played like they played, and then the younger guys came in this year playing like they played at quarterback, you can't put that rookie stigma on them anymore. Those guys are, like I said, those guys are, the college coaches are doing a great job of preparing these guys, and these young guys are taking Peyton Manning's rule and watching film and doing stuff like that. So, you know, if you prepare yourself, you got a chance to go out and be successful in this league.
All right, let me ask a little bit about your role on the team. You know, it looks like there's going to be a switch there to the defense. The other day I saw Albert Haynesworth on TV. He wasn't too happy about a switch to a 3-4 scheme. But then you see other guys like, Chris Jenkins adjusted very well from going to a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense. What's your take on the potential playing nose tackle?
now they're going to be pressing me to play end, and if I have to play no tackle, so be it. But either way, it doesn't matter. I plan on coming in about 295 and some of the best shape I've been in, and I'm ready to play wherever.
And are there, you know, just the fact that you're changing the scheme, well, is there anything that you have to do differently or any adjustments that you have to make in the off season that you normally wouldn't?
Well, as far as just maybe getting down lower than what I usually play at, like getting down to 295 is a goal that I wanted to do this year. So since I'm moving out on the edge, want to be a little quicker, a little faster. So that was definitely one of my focal points this year.
Any chance you talk to your old buddy Richard Seymour about some pointers there? He's got some experience.
I actually have. I talked to Richard about 4 weeks ago and was asking him about the change, and he was saying that I would like playing in the 3-4. And, you know, I guess the pass, I'll probably go right back down inside, right back at home. So, you know, it's a change I'm embracing and I'm looking forward to.
Let me ask you about another former Bulldog, and that's Charles Grant, the defensive end. He's out there in the free agent world. How would you like to bring him along to the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, man, Charles is a great player, so Charles would be a good addition to any team. You know, he finished last year on IR, but I know he definitely got a lot of ball in him. I've seen him around town the last couple of weeks, and he's looking good. And so, you know, I feel like come in on any team and contribute and play a viable role.
Now, you mentioned, you know, being just a couple of plays away, a couple of games away. That's kind of the nature of the NFL to some extent, you know, where teams are very close, and it's the ones that win those close games. You know, you're not that far away. And, I read a quote with your coach, Chan Gailey, where he talked about, you know, how Miami kind of came out of nowhere and won the division 2 years ago. Last year, the Jets, while they didn't win the division, you know, they went from being a non-playoff team, making it all the way to the championship game. You know, does that kind of spur you on a little bit, seeing that within your own division, how quickly, you know, you can go from worst to first?
Yeah, definitely, because, like you just said, it's a parody in this league, and every game is, when they say it's a game of inches, it's the truth, and those inches can win you the game or lose you the game, and that's what we've been experiencing. So now we need to try to win those inches.
And we're talking to Marcus Stroud of the Buffalo Bills here on this NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight brought to you by All Access Football Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. Marcus, you know, NFL Draft, it's in our name, so I got to go in that direction a little bit. And defensive tackle, this is the year of the defensive tackles. Some people think it's, you know, the greatest class maybe ever. Let's start at the top there. I know you follow the college game and you know these guys. And Ndamukong Suh and Gerald McCoy, there's a lot of debate about there where they should go, one or two. What's your take on those two players? Do you think McCoy is a clear-cut Suh over McCoy is a clear-cut pick?
Well, before I start this, I want to correct you right quick. This might be a good year for the defensive tackle, but I think this might be the second best year. The very best draft class, I think, and I'm biased, of course, because I was part of that class, but the 01 draft class, we had some good deep tackles in that one. Myself, Richard Seymour, Darrell Warren, Casey Hampton, Sean Rogers, that's just to name a few. We had about 8-9 guys that go. We had about 8 guys go in the first round that year at the defensive tackle position. So I'm a pull for that being the best class. But with you being said, I watched both of those guys play, man, and if I was GM, that's a hard pick, man, because I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. Both of them, you've got two big dominating tackles that have two of the best motors in the game, you know, especially coming from college. So you can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
How about Sue, man? I mean, he was such a unique guy, got invited to the Heisman as a defensive tackle. You know, you know how difficult that is. You know, talk about the kind of impact he could have coming in right away into the NFL.
Oh, he could definitely have a big impact, you know, especially if he can play like he played against Texas, man. Any guy that can come in and disrupt, and the teams are looking for a deep tackle now. They want you to be able to do everything. You have to be able to stop the run and rush the passer, and this guy is good at both.
All right, and let me give your Georgia Bulldogs some love. How about, you know, those boys, Geno Atkins and Jeffrey Owens, two D tackles, you know, not quite at the level that you and Seymour were at Georgia, but pretty good prospects in their own right.
Oh, definitely. You know, Owens, if he would have got his knee hurt last year, he was a projected first rounder last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, he bounced back pretty good off his injury, and he definitely has a chance to go somewhere and be an impact.
And staying in the SEC, one more on the draft here. You know, there's a lot of debate in terms of who's the top nose tackle, you know, pure nose for a 3-4 defense. And the clear-cut top two guys are Mount Cody out of Alabama, as well as Dan Williams out of Tennessee. Couple rivals. I don't know how difficult it is for you to give some love to some old rival schools. But if you were a GM and you had to, you know, both of those guys are on the board, you need a nose tackle, which one would you lean towards?
Personally, I think I'll probably lean towards Mount Cody. He's a little bit bigger, you know. He's definitely a guy that, if you can keep him in shape and maintain his shape, I think he's definitely a guy that can come in and plug up two to three holes by himself. So I think he would definitely be a good viable option as a starting nose tackle.
All right, and yes, you're right. That 2001 class that included yourself, guys like Ryan Pickett out of Ohio State, Chris Jenkins out of Maryland, Sean Rogers out of Texas, pretty impressive 2001 draft class for the defensive tackle position. It'll be interesting to see down the road how it does stack up this year's class against that class.
Oh, yeah, it would. It would. It would be interesting to see.
Now,
they're going to have to step it up. They're coming to pass up, though. I think everybody out of that class has had some pretty good success and still having some good success. So we set the bar high, but those guys are definitely capable of coming up and matching the bar or even surpassing them.
All right, and we're talking to Marcus Stroud of the Buffalo Bills here in this NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight. Marcus, let's go back to your charity event, the Moulin Rouge at the Opera Nightclub in Atlanta, Georgia. That's Friday night. It's benefits to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about that event. I believe, you know, in addition to yourself, there's going to be some other NFL players there and some entertainers there as well, correct?
Oh, definitely. You know, we got a whole list of people coming, man. It's going to be a nice star-studded event, so everybody that's listening, if you're not doing anything Friday, put on your best clothes and come on out and party with us. You know, we're going to have a nice gig. It's going to be, we got the Moulin Rouge actors and stuff going on. We got some R&B act singing. It's going to be a nice event.
All right, looking at some of the stuff here, I believe Deion Grant's going to be there, George Wilson, Fred Taylor. You got a Gator going there, Mike Peterson, Hines Ward, another Georgia Bulldog, Edwards.
Robert Edwards, you know, I'm reaching out to all the Bulldog Nation, you know, all the former Bulldogs. If you can hear me in the sound of your voice, let's come out and show these people that the Dog Nation is still out there. We stick together, baby.
That's right. You definitely got to represent, and this is definitely a great, great cause. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you got into this cause. What brought you to want to do this type of charitable event and this particular, you know, healthcare of Atlanta there at the Hugh Spalding there in Atlanta?
Well, I've been doing things with my foundation ever since I've been in the league, and now I've set myself up where I can take my foundation to a bigger scale, maybe even a national level, and that's what I'm trying to do. The reason I chose to partner with the Children's Hospital of Atlanta is because my foundation caters towards kids, and the Children's Hospital of Atlanta, they do a great job of helping kids, and they even, you know, regardless of what the financial situation is or what, they go in and they help these kids, and I just wanted to be a part of that.
And for listeners out there, if you want to learn more about the foundation, you can go to www.MarcusStroudFoundation.com, and they can learn all the good stuff and you know, about upcoming events and everything that you're doing there, helping the kids in that area.
Definitely. And you can definitely go online and get the tickets. And like you just said, be prepared for other events. You know, this summer I have a literacy campaign going on. It's going to be called 99 Ways to Sack of Literacy.
We might have to get maybe Jay-Z involved with that a little bit, right?
Hey, anybody that can come on, man, you know, that'd be lovely.
Maybe we could, you know, get him involved somehow. You know, I got 99 problems, but literacy ain't one.
Oh, you're mad. Hey, Look at you. I need to bring you along on the PR team, man.
Hey, I'm free, man. You want to leave me a plane ticket at JFK, I'll hop on board, you know?
Hey, no problem, man. Just let me know. I'll get you around.
Marcus, thanks a lot again for giving us some time. You know, we want to wish you luck with this event, with your charities moving forward as well, and with the Buffalo Bills. And we look forward to having you on again.
Well, no problem. I'd love to be back on.